Blog Talk Radio.
Every person listening, I want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. And God, there is no limit. New grace.
It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning.
hallelujah, is not over because God is in it. And as long as God is in it, it's not over. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, the apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the faithful and to all those that are in Christ, to all believers, to all those who have acknowledged that they are spiritual, grace and peace and his mercy be unto you. So happy you all could join us. We'll have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into this review. Got a lot of things to cover. But first, you're going to have a word of prayer. And Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn whose we are and what we are. I thank you, Father God, for healing me. I thank you, Father God, for touching my body, for giving me the strength, Father God, to go on, because you decreed and declared that by your stripes we are healed. So I'm going to speak that right now on my life and everybody else's, that by your stripes we are healed. We are set free. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We are, Father God, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I thank you for it, Father God. I thank you because we know who we are now. I thank you, Father God, that we're more than conquerors through Christ that strengthened us. I thank you, Father God, that you have accepted us as your beloved. I praise you for it, give you the glory for it. Ask you, Father God, to continue to remember this broadcast. I put it before you, and I said that let your spirit reign from one end to the other, from one part of the country to the other part of the country. And open those ears that are stopped up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you, Father God, to let those that are here understand 1 Peter 2:25. He was healed physically, but mentally, spiritually, and socially. We're healed by your stripes in every area that has to be healed. I thank you for it. Then, Father God, I thank you for reconciling us back to you and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. And I thank you, Father God, that we can walk in the Spirit as you are in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:16. I thank you, Father God, that we are new creatures, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Father God, I count it all blessed. I count it all blessed that we can continue to be in your Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for that security. Thank you for the freedom to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now I ask you, Father God, if anyone want to agree with the scripture, for whatever we put ourselves in agreement with that, because your word said where two or more is touching and agreeing, you'll be in the midst. So I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Everybody agreed, said amen. And amen.
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 Amen. Listen, brother, there was a lot of things that we went over this week, and anything that you all want to talk about, we'll talk about. Anything you want to discuss that we went over this week, we'll discuss it. I know we talked about, first of all, we talked about being blind to God's truth. So that's the overall picture of this. And one of the pieces that came from that is the fact that people are blind to a lot of God's truth about a lot of things. So the thing that we picked out this week was about the law and grace. And so if you want to talk about that, we'll talk about that too. We'll talk about being blind to the law of and grace. And as I said before, it's kind of hard to talk about the law without talking about grace. The other thing I said this week, we talked about being a Christian. You know, I think that was kind of like Monday. So you want to talk about that? We'll talk about that. Before that goes, any other thing on your part that you want to talk about? But we talked about the Christian life. That's what we really talked about, the Christian life. And so we'll talk about that if you want to. We talked about let's see here. The truth about the law and grace. I made a few notes here. We talked about why the law was given, to show the real nature of sin, show what sin can do. We talked a little bit about the Abrahamic covenant, because that was promised. We talked a little bit why God gave the law. And we talked a little bit about being born again, because that's one of the reasons you want to be born again, when you understand that the law can't do anything for you. See, when you realize that the law cannot do anything for you, that's when you're going to look for something else. Because the law, it was weak. See, playing church is weak. Going to a building won't save you. So it's almost pointless. It's like, why do you do that? What are you getting out of that? What's the value there? See, that's what I'm saying. We have to come to a place and say, okay, why this? So it is, and we end up talking about the law. Why the law? Why we have the law? So any of those things that I mentioned or anything else you would like to talk about, we'll talk about. So I'm going to open up the broadcast. This is our review. It's not mine. But anybody have any scripture they want to jump on right quick? We're open. The broadcast is now open. Well, I guess I'll just start by saying that our gospel is hidden to them that are lost, and the God of this world have blinded their minds. And I've stated before, and I'm going to state it again, you do not want to be going down the expressway, somebody driving that's blind. You don't want that. And that's how important your life should be. You don't want to be living a Christian life and somebody directing you is blind to it. Man, that's not God's way. That's not his way at all, okay? We went through a lot of scriptures and this week. So anybody have any that they want to share? If not, we talked about the Christian life, how it really began, the initial beginning of a Christian life or experience. It's when you pass from death unto life. Not when you join the church, not when you attend church school, Sunday school, Sabbath school. No, that does not begin your Christian life. Your Christian life began when you are born again by the Word of God. Now I'm going to say this, because I know y'all think, oh, it's just cliche, it's just, but it's not. You have to be born again. Okay. Well, if you're going to be born again, what are you going to be born again of? See, to be born again is to redo. That had nothing to do with feeling. Being born again, it's about, and has been being regenerated. That's not born again. You're born again according to the scripture, and let me going to give y'all a receipt or two here. 1 Peter 1:23. because most people think Christians are people who go to a church. Most people think a Christian is somebody, they stop drinking, stop smoking, stop hoeing, stop work, stop. They think Christianity is a bunch of stop this and stop that and stop that, and that's not Christianity, man. Long ways from it. Long ways from it. If anybody teaching that garbage, they lying to you. This is about you must be born again. And if you're going to be born again, you need to know what that is. See, people are blind to that. But being born again, according to 1 Peter 1:23, I'm going to ask Evangelist William if she'll read that out of the King James Version. That's pastor to read it out of the Messenger Bible.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to get born again, don't run up in some building, start whooping and hollering. Well, you know, I got to pull down my dress. It's too short. Nah, brothers and sisters. Oh, man, my pants are too tight. I can't wear this because, see, people throw all that stuff in the equation, but it's not. It's not none of that, okay? None of that part of the equation here. None of it. They'll give you a whole bunch of stuff and tell you that's what being born again is, but it's not. Being born again is just what that word just said. Well, like any other birth, it has to meet with something. It has to be conceived. Let me just put it that way. So the word of God has to be conceived in your spirit, man. How you do that? By abiding in that word. By staying in that word and that word stay in you. And if you let it stay there long enough, boom. That's a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have the same reaction that a moral sperm does. The word of God is going to do that, but in a different way, meaning spiritual.
Yeah.
It's going to get in your spirit. The key word here is understanding. Let me tell you about this birth. This birth, see, I could just spend the whole day talking about this birth. But this birth, you'll never die. Your mortal birth, you're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to die. I don't care how much riches you get. I don't care what you do. You're still going to die.
Amen.
But now with this new birth, which is the word of God, that's God himself, because he is the word. Remember over there in St. John 1, in the beginning was the word. Well, you're getting born again by the word of God. Man, I wish I had time. I know this is not the review, but just think about what's in that word, man, that you what you're getting in you now. You're getting grace. Oh, preacher. You get born again. You just got grace, man. You got preferred grace. Let me say this again. You got preferred grace. This is the grace God preferred that you have in you. You got the promises of God. All of them. You got the Holy Spirit. When you get born again by that word, you got a love that you never knew you had.
Amen.
You get greatness. When you get born again, you just got some greatness. Did I tell you, you just became one with the Father? You just like your daddy now because he is the Word.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. You just changed families. Did I tell you that? Did I tell you, when you get born by that Word, you got anointed. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just received some anointing because that's what's in the Word of God. But you got born again. Because, see, before you didn't have all that stuff in your other birth. A whole lot of stuff you didn't have. Matter of fact, you weren't even free. Had to get free now. And you get free because of the Word of God. Remember what he said in Galatians 2:20? See, that has to happen. We'll go there.
Yeah.
Even though this is a little off from the review, but you are making me do this, see?
Mm-hmm.
I can just talk all day about what's in the new birth. And it ain't nowhere in there going to church. You won't find in the new birth going to church. You won't find that. You won't find it. What you're going to find is you're going to become the church.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because in Galatians 2:20, read that for us, please.
Yes, Pastor, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen, amen.
Praise God, praise God. Reading from the Message Bible. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identify myself completely with him. I, indeed, I have crucified, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, can we all agree that the Christian life began with the initial experience in which we passed from death unto life? From that point, Christianity is a life to be lived. Christ living in us is the hope of glory. Then the next stage of this is to start, development. Mm-hmm. Who get born and don't develop? I told you, if you get born again and you haven't grown any, you still a midget or a gizzard. Well, what that is, that's somebody who never, a little bit taller than a midget. They call them gidget. They're a little bit taller than a midget. So you got a lot of people who are a little bit, they went to read about a few scriptures in the Bible, they went to church, and all this, they gidget. They're a little bit more, but they practice because they think they know, they think they grown, they think they have developed a Christian life, and they haven't. They know all the sayings, they know all the Lego, they know all the all that old kind of stuff, you know. They know how to high-five you. They know how to answer you. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed.
All right.
They know the proper stuff to say. But listen, brothers and sisters, those are just gidgets. The real Christian life, in the terms of its beginning, it's continuing in that word. So the scripture commands and how to maintain the developed Christian life. And that was one of the things that we were talking about that people are blind to. See, because really the scripture deal with discipline. The scripture deal with discipleship. Not manship, but discipleship by God himself.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So there's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people have built Christianity around a building and tables and books, and just like in a school. And then they compare it by saying, well, if the school do this, and we're church people, we should be better than that. So they build a better looking school than the church. I mean, a better church than the school look. But listen, brothers and sisters, that's not what it's about. It is not isolated from the world, as some people would think. But the Christian life is not, it's not a lot of legislation, and it's not a lot of legalism, because some people want church to be a lot of legalism, and it's not none of that, brothers and sisters. It's not a lot of numbers that people throw out there and say this is what it is, but it's none of those things. It's simply being born again, living in Christ, and Christ living in you. And you do that by example in your conduct, your acts, your deeds. And if you're going to do the same thing the world would do, then there's no difference between you being born again and you not born again. That's the same thing the Pharisees would do. Man, I go hanging. Oh, really? Oh, that's what you go hanging? You hanging? I hang him from his boots. Well, wait a minute. Your righteousness have not exceeded that of the Pharisees.
All right. Say it now.
It has to exceed that of the Pharisees. There's, because sometimes people got this, all these different codes, a code of ethics. You got to wear this. You got to look like this. So the life of Christian has only one ethic, and that is the Word of God in you. Being a Christian means Christ in you. That's what it means. So the bottom line to all of that is Christ in you. You've separated. You've been set apart for allowing God to use your body. That's why we're called saints, not ain't, but we're called saints. So the word saints mean all who have been regenerated. But you got to get born again. And you know, the Spirit spoke to me this morning and say, a lot of times people repent, and they think they done repented. They've had nothing to repent of if they've been a sinner. The only people have something to repent of is those that have been practicing going to church and being religious. Then they got something to repent of. But the people out there in a straight sinner ain't claiming to be saved, don't know the Lord, they don't have anything. What they got to get repent? They don't have nothing to be repent of. Nothing. Nothing. Why they need to change? Change from what? No, they have to get saved. They have to get delivered. Then once they do that and they start practicing and they realize they're practicing the wrong thing, that's when they need to repent. That's when they need to make that change and get back on track. See?
Yeah.
So, and we may get into that and we may not. The Christian life begins by turning from the old life and trusting in Christ Jesus as your Savior. Really trusting him. Really getting your Bible and making those free will decisions. I think about, when you think about repentance, my mind goes to Matthew 9 and 13. So we'll go there. Because repentance is really, it should take, your new birth should take place when you get, like, Let's look at that. Let's look at Matthew 9:13.
Yes, Pastor, Matthew 9:13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen, amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not cuddle insiders. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you claim yourself to be saved, delivered, all that, I ain't talking to you. But these are people who have had the experience of saying, you know what? I was in error. I repent. I realized I was doing it wrong. And I call myself doing it. So, Lord, I repent. But if you're already righteous, you already got this thing, God ain't even talking to you. He's talking to people like I were. Like I were. You know, somebody who was struggling, trying to find a way. And I'd go anyway. So God said, okay, repent from that, turn from that, and I'm going to show you a better way and a more excellent way. And that way happens to be in the Word of God. Because I was doing a lot of things because of the law. You know, I was operating under the law code because that's where I thought I was, blind to it, trying to operate up under the law code. And not knowing, now let me say this, not knowing that the law couldn't save me. Because I thought going to church, practicing that stuff, because that's what I was taught, that's what was going to save me. See? So when I dealt with the part of the law and grace, and I understand that the subject is clear and it's taught in Scripture, but yet it is one of the most debated and abused subjects that I think in the Christian circle. I don't even want to say the Christian faith because a lot of folks don't know what faith is. But they argue that sin should abound so grace can much more abound. And I don't agree with that. I agree with the fact that there are those who live under the legalism, which is another word for their interpretation of the law. That's what I think.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, all those groups are in error because the Bible is real clear, brothers and sisters. It's real clear. It teaches us about the age in which we live. The age of grace, the age of the church. So when God's word speaks, there is no room for argument. It's undisputed. It's not debatable. I know we talked a little bit about grace, and we covered some things, but going back to what point in time we were this week, we did talk a little bit of the difference between the law and grace. We talked about the purpose of the law. And the scripture gave us answer this week. And I think Monday we talked about that the law was like a schoolmaster. Over there in, I think it was Galatians 3:24. Let's look at that scripture. And anybody have anything to say, just chime in when you get ready. But we're doing this review. But in Galatians 3:24.
Yes, Pastor, Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Amen, amen.
Praise God. From the Message Bible, the law was like those Greek tutors with which you are familiar, who escort children to school and protect them from danger or distraction, making sure the children will really get to the place they set out for. Amen.
Amen.
And I did a little bit more research on that schoolmaster. That's exactly what it did. It protects you until Christ got here. It's protecting me until we could see in Christ what he offered us. The law don't save anybody, okay? It wasn't designed to save you.
Amen.
The law was not designed to save you. And if somebody tells you that different, they're lying to you. The law can't make you holy. The law can't make you righteous. Matter of fact, I can go on to blow your mind and tell you the law can't even give you peace. Show them any peace of mind.
Amen.
And it ain't going to stop you. The law don't stop you from doing nothing. The law don't give you can't get you delivered from the power of darkness. The law can't do that. The law can't translate you into God's kingdom. The law can't do that. So going to church, practicing all this religious stuff is not the answer. Not to what we need. Our answer to these things are grace. And in that grace is what we need to live at. So we talked about these laws. They got us there to teach us, to get us to where we can really hear God. It got us in there. It protected us. We would have been as wild as a buck out there. We've been buck wild, they call it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what it did, it kept us in the lane. It kept us in, you know, it kept us. I don't know if anybody out there ever went bowling. Yeah, actually, I know Pastor had. Never thought of it. And probably got a few other people. Maybe Evangelist William. I know Evangelist Sharon. I know she's been bowling. I know that. But let me tell you something. At the bowling alley, they got these things that they pull up. They call them bumpers.
Yeah.
And when you throw your ball down there, the bumpers keep you from going in the gutter.
Amen.
Is that right, Pastor? That what they call them things,
right,
bumpers?
Yeah.
It keeps your ball from going in the gutter. Because if you go in the gutter, you ain't going to hit nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
Nothing.
It's going straight to the bottom. And all them pins going to still be left up there.
That's
see, that's what the law does. It was like them bumpers. It keeps you from going straight to hell.
Amen.
That makes sense. That's what the law did.
Yes, it does.
Following all this religion, all this tradition, doing this and doing that, and they converting the law. That's what the law did. It was like them bumpers, man. It keep you from going in the gutter.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if you didn't want to go in the gutter, you pull up the bumpers. But now, wait a minute. There come a time where you can put them bumpers down now. Because I got faith now. I know how to throw that thing and make it hook right into the headpiece.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So I don't need them bumpers no more. I got this now. I know how to keep it on the on the floor and to keep it out of the gutter. I know how, to put it on that 16th or the 17th board. I know how to do a follow through. faith and taught me that.
Yes.
He taught me how to get to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now I got to start developing that. Developing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and it comes by, let me tell you what. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So it taught me what it was. That's all. Remember Romans 3:20? We'll read that. Romans 3:20.
Pastor, Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. This makes it clear, doesn't it, that whatever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others, but to us, to whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everyone else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complicity in everyone else's sin. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for his word.
Yeah, so the law was given that man might know what sin is. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you get the knowledge of what's going on now. So Paul said, in Romans 7:7, remember he said, I had not known sin, but the law said it. If the law had, I wouldn't even knew that was a gutter. I thought I could do that. But the law kept me on track.
Yeah.
It was with the law that the whole world was guilty. The Bible said that the law was given to stop mouths. Because people say this and say that and this, that, and the third. So the law was given to straighten it out.
I
never forget over there in the book of Psalms, God's law condemned man. And then David revealed that in Psalms 14:2-3, the same thing, brothers and sisters. The law, it's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who ain't walking after the law or walking after the flesh or walking other things that were. But we're walking after the Spirit. That's indeed if you're walking after the Spirit. Because indeed you should be walking after the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then we read something else too this week. I made note of, I think it was in Romans 7. And we'll read that. Romans 7, verse 7 through 14. And what we learned from that, I think it's kind of that there's a difference between the law and the stuff that's inside the law. It was to keep you right. It was nothing wrong with it, but it was to keep us straight. So the law was given to show the real nature of sin, that if you continue that way, what was going to happen? But it was to show us. There's a lot of things I can say, but it was to show us. So we dealt with that. So let's read Romans 7, 7 through 14.
Romans 7, 7 through 14. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasions by the commandment, wrath in me, all manner of conspicuous, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasions by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. When was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Amen, amen.
Amen, praise God. For the message, Bible. But I can hear you say, if the law code was as bad as all that, it's no better than sin itself. Certainly not true. The law code had a perfectly legitimate function. Without its clear guidelines for right and wrong, moral behavior would be mostly guesswork. Apart from the surgical command, you shall not covet, I could have dressed covetousness up to look like a virtue and ruin my life with it. Don't you remember how it was? I do perfectly well. The law code started out as an excellent piece of work. What happened, though, was that sin found a way to pervert the into a temptation, making a piece of forbidden fruit out of it. The law code, instead of being used to guide me, was used to seduce me. Without all the paraphernalia of the new code, sin looked pretty dull and lifeless, and I went along without paying much attention to it. But once sin got his hands on the law code and decked itself out in all that finery, I was fooled and fell for it. The very command that was supposed to guide me into life was cleverly used to trip me up, throwing me headlong. So sin was plenty alive, and I was stone dead. But the law code itself is God's good and common sense command, sane and holy counsel. I can already hear your next question. Does that mean I can even trust what is good, that is the law? Is good just as dangerous as evil? No, again. Sin simply did what sin is so famous for doing, using the good as a cover to tempt me to do what would finally destroy me. By hiding within God's good commandment, sin did far more mischief than it could ever have accomplished on its own. I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual. I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes. all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing the things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So how far you go back?
I went to the 16th verse, Pastor.
Okay. All right. Just want everybody to be clear for those that follow along with us here. We talked last week a little bit from the and I think really you ought to read this whole seventh chapter, mm-hmm. man. We could just cap out right there. But from seven to fourteen, and I'm not gonna do it all. I'm gonna make a couple points since they read, and I pray that you all get the message. See, where there is no law, there is no sin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because, see, people cannot know that their actions are sinful unless a law forbid those things.
Next.
You see?
Amen. Amen.
So God's law made people realize that they are sinners doomed to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I talk about throwing that ball. If you didn't have those guards up there, that ball going straight to the gutter if you can't keep it up there. So that's what the law does. It shows you that if you don't stay up on there, you're going to the gutter. Straight to the gutter. Straight to the gutter.
Amen.
That's why I gave you that illustration. But yet, it offered no help. You know, the law offered no help. It just guides you, told you.
Yeah.
But it did tell you that real danger is real danger there. So when you do a survey of the thing, and then it's not of your fault because it's just that you don't know. That's pretty much what happens. And then you could argue the fact that you got deceived. Because you get angry and you ask, what did I get angry for? Wasn't my fault. They did that. So like I was telling you all the other day, where there's no law, there's no transgression. If they don't have a speed limit sign out there by my house, I could run down that street and the police can't do anything because there's nothing to govern that. But once you get something to govern that, then you can go to, so I don't need no sign to tell me that in a residential area, I don't know if you're running 50 miles an hour. I don't need that. I know better because I'm living the faith now.
Amen.
Great.
So, listen, brothers and sisters. Sin deceives people by misusing the law. See, people misuse the law in a lot of ways. So the law was, because the law is holy. That's where Pastor kind of went to a moment ago. See, the law is holy. It expressed God's nature. It is for people who want to do the right thing. But you remember in the Garden of Eden, over there in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the serpent deceived Eve by taking her focus off of what freedom she had. Took her focus off of what God had already given her freedom to do and so forth and so on. I could give you the whole spiel there. But here's what it did, brothers and sisters. It deceived it make a thing look like it's right, but it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But sometimes wrong, you know, it just like, for instance, see, the law is good. It's holy. But by the same token, the same thing good to you, it can hurt you. The same thing that, you know, you thinking, boy, that's bad, it could be good. And then the same thing you thinking is good, it could be bad. So the problem's in this thing about, man, I was all right until I realized what the law said. But once that came, then I died. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been for the law, he would have known it was wrong. But sometimes, like an emergency, for instance, here you taking somebody to the hospital and you driving, and you know the law says it's 35 miles an hour. Well, the law don't make no exceptions there. 35 miles an hour. I don't care if it's bleeding. The law says 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But
Amen.
A reasonable, sensible, intelligent person would say, you know what? I know that's just a law, but hey, I got to get past to the hospital. Got to get to the hospital.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You're doing what you have to do. So that's where faith comes in. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell y'all right now, we're getting ready to live in a time and period where faith is going to have to just explode, because you're going to have to do things according to faith. You won't.
Yeah.
The law may say do one thing, but you realize, hey, I'm going to have to do it because this is what faith. That don't mean you're going to do nothing wrong. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is faith is going to help you through the grace of God to get over it. Because, see, once you speed limit, you go to court and answer the charges, then the judge going to say, well, why did you do that? Well, hey, pastor, he's about to die, or she's about to die, or whatever. And so that's why I broke the speed limit. Well, grace is going to come up, and grace is going to say, well, okay, I understand. I understand why you did it. It may not make sense, but because of grace, we'll give you a pass.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yes.
See, everybody can't do everything according to the law.
Yes, at all times.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So that's another reason we need grace. But grace doesn't give you a license to do things. God forbid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
See, so those are some of the things that we're going to deal with. But anybody have anything they want to share? As we get into more about the grace, probably next week, I just want to make sure everybody understand that when you talk about the law of what the law is, it's called the law of sin and death. That's what the law is called.
Yeah.
So whatever it is you practicing, that's sin, and death is coming with it. It's called the law of sin and death. Some people think it's a separate law. It's not. It's called the law of sin and death.
Yeah,
that's why Paul
yeah.
says in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, you mean to tell me what I've been what I've been doing causing death to me? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better way. So we may get into that next week to show you how grace will stand for you. When you got yourself in some mess, like that song I play, it ain't over. You got yourself in some mess, grace is standing up for you.
Thank you, the Lord.
But anybody had anything they want to share for you this week?
Yes, Pastor. When we read Romans 8 and verses 4. Let's see, and reading it from the Message Bible kind of bring out our lesson. It says the law code weakened, as it always was, by fractured human nature, could never have done that. So it tells us right there that the law code was weak. Then it goes on to say the law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of deep healing of it. And now what the law code asks for but couldn't deliver is accomplished. As we, instead of redoubling our own effort, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us, and some of God's Spirit. It goes on to say, those who think they can do it on their own end of success with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsessed with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on self is opposite of focusing on God.
Yes.
Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. So as I was reading that, it just lets us know how easily that law code makes us aware of right and wrong, like it was set out to do. And then further down where it says those who trust God's action in them find God's Spirit in them living and breathing God. In that way, we want to do the things that's pleasing unto God now. So I just thank God for the message. And I think we had also read in Galatians, verses, it was one of these verses I wanted to bring out as you were talking in the third chapter, and verse 13 and 14, which tells us Christ redeemed us from the self-defeating curse of life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing just the way Abraham received it.
What a blessing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We have to believe it by faith. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor.
We didn't get into all of that. Trying to review what we went over the whole week. It would take us, oh God, it takes to review as it did to teach it. But I do want to say one thing, brothers and sisters, because she brought it up. She brought up Galatians 3, And one of the things that I was going to share today, if time had permitted, is that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
I don't know
how many people see that. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. That's what it's called. That's over there, I think, in Galatians 3:13. Read that for me, Evangelist William. I want y'all to see something.
Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen, amen.
Amen. Reading that from the Message Bible, Christ redeemed us from the self-defeating curse, life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? Amen.
Amen.
So, it means Christ paid it. Now, that's where our faith got to be at. Just, I don't care what you done heard, what you've been taught. Check this one out. Go and do the research for yourself. When something or someone been redeemed, that means whatever was required has been satisfied.
Yes.
It's been paid. You got the answer now. You made good on that.
Mm-hmm.
You
Amen.
Did what was required according to the terms, man. Doesn't matter what it was. Whatever was required, you kept it. You did what was required. You accomplished that. So Christ, he accomplished that. The Bible says we've been redeemed from that curse. So if you've been, if the bill been paid, why do you still go to church? Why you still practice religious stuff? See, it's pointless. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's pointless.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're
Amen.
Doing all this stuff. And it just doesn't start. Look where it started. It was Saturday night. You start shining your shoe, getting your stuff laid out, your dress, your bra, your whatever. You started. Then you put on all this stuff. So you can go practice something that's already been paid.
Yes.
I don't know why I see it like that, but I just see it like it's pointless, man. I know one thing. You paid my house note. I ain't finna go pay it. I promise you that.
Amen.
Yes.
Ain't that stupid?
Amen.
So you see how ignorant people can be? I mean, I don't know. I may be talking about something I just spoke out there. And if so, it's okay. Maybe you'll go tell them. Maybe you'll run and tell them that, hey, they paid for all that. You ain't got to do that. Our new requirement is to have faith in what God did. Therein lies the problem. People can't have faith in, well, did God really do that? Yes, he paid it, man. Trust it. Believe it. Have faith in it. It's paid. He made good on it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And we know he hung on the cross because curse is anybody. Anybody. So God made sure two thieves was on the cross too because that was a practice. They know if you're on the cross, you done did something real, but you got cursed.
Yes.
You got cursed.
Yeah.
And so Christ hung on that tree to prove that he was a curse. He became that curse.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
But if we just understand what that word really means, as in a curse to me is that, I'm redeemed. Redeemed to me as in he fulfilled whatever the curse needed. You had to be redeemed. So he paid back. He paid it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care how you feel he did it. You could say he won it. You could say I mean, I don't care. But at the end of the day, the payment was made. The ransom was made.
Yeah.
So you can let it go now. That what you charging? Boom, it paid. Let them go. So we're free. We got released from that. You got released from that debt.
Yeah.
I tell you what, one other thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to be done if somebody else has something to say. But you let IRS, you owe IRS, and then IRS told you free from that. I guarantee you ain't going to send them no payment. I promise you, you won't.
Amen.
And I don't even have to get that deep. I can go to your bank, your finance institution, or somebody you just owe money to. If they tell you, hey, you ain't got to pay me, really?
I
know I owe you, I don't have to pay you, for real.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a smile on your face, number one. And number two, it may be a little hesitant, a little doubt. But number three, when you realize that it's really been paid, or you're going to start rejoicing. You're going to be like Pastor V. You're going to always be happy. Because, hey, my debt paid, man. I'm living debt free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you ain't got to pay, you ain't got to get up and run in no church building, because if you do, if you don't, you're going to hell. Now, y'all probably don't know they teach that kind of stuff. It's like some of y'all probably don't even know if you don't give a tithe or offering, they're going to beat you up. They will beat you up, I'll tell you that right now, inside that building. So they put you in four walls so they can beat you up. So you feel guilty when you leave up out of there.
Amen.
But I don't feel guilty. They had a picture on TV the other day from the African baby with a blowed up stomach and looked like tears was coming out of eyes. See, that's deception. That's Satan using that to say, well, now won't you give 37 cents a day, $10 a month, feed that person. They're doing it with dogs now. They put them dogs in there, and people who are animal lovers, they say, oh, they feel so sorry. Let me get my checkbook out. And then some of them ask you for your credit card, so it'll be a recurring. So we don't want to bother you next month. So just let me have your credit card number, and every month we just automatically get $10, $12.
Yeah.
But you felt sorry. You felt sorry. And if I got any animal lovers on here, I don't apologize for trying to give an illustration. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying what they do in the world. Well, that's the same thing they do in some of these church buildings. They show you a need. If it ain't nothing but your light, well, we need to pay these light bills. And they'll turn around and use the money for the gas, showing they lie. But then that's too bad because it ain't God's church no way. But they'll get you feeling sorry. It's a shame y'all letting God's church go down like this. And y'all won't do nothing for God. And he done did this for you. And see, they just psych you. I mean, get you into all that old crazy way of thinking, man. You know.
Yeah.
And if you're not strong in the word, you'll fall in the midst of that stuff and start agreeing with them. And now there's some folks, they ain't, when it comes to money, they ain't getting off no money. That ain't finna happen. And they might do you a little service. But still, even at that, brothers and sisters, I just don't like the deception part of it. When you've been redeemed, whatever need to be paid, it's paid already. It's paid.
Yeah.
Like over there in Africa. America sent food over there, the other parts of the world sent it to feed those people. And then they're going to kind of squeeze you out another dime.
Yeah.
Your tax might be paying for some of that. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. I want to talk about the Word of God. But anyway, Anything anybody else want to talk about? Hallelujah. Anything. Well, I want to thank all y'all for... Huh?
I was just saying, thank God for the word. Man.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say this, you know, Evangelist Sharon, she hangs in there. Yeah, and I have to say this because a lot of other people, they done they hung up. But Evangelist Sharon, she hang in there. And that's, I'm just telling you, she be in there. She don't say anything, but she in there. So I just had to say that. And now, meanwhile, nobody else have anything else. Y'all, we'll see y'all tomorrow for the